The sands through Carpenter's Creek. So are the days of our Pensacola. And now, another episode of City Council Melodrama Theater.
And the administration also has the ability to take a vote. And there was a vote that was 6-1. And if we were to go into a precedent of which any time someone didn't like a vote that has no standing, could just do so, and then we stop government for 60 days, I don't know that that's the precedent that we want to set either. And, you know, the fact of the matter is, that one of the petitioners, Councilwoman Hill, in three times in 2020, took $715,000 that was earmarked for Malcolm Young. I mean, it was in LLSC. It was set to go. And they decided there was a more important project for them.
All right. That's a little bit of backdrop context for what you're about to hear from City Council. And we're going back to the interview that we did with Mayor D.C. Reeves a little over about 2 weeks ago now. It's kind of where some of this all started. And him explaining that there was a vote a couple of years ago to divert $750,000 from Malcolm Young Gym repair and refurbishment and maintenance to some other project, which is fine. City Council can do that. But one of the key people who's leading the charge, or now the mourning, I guess, of Malcolm Young Gym, Ann Hill, somebody who get along with just fine, was one of the people who voted to divert some of that money. And he says, look, you can't have it both ways. You can't divert the money and then complain that we didn't maintain the facility.
This is exactly a microcosm of what I'm talking about. Is, you know, they signed the death notice of Malcolm Young three and a half years ago when they said, never mind, it's not important to us. We're not going to fix it. If it had been fixed, we would have been right back in business. Instead, we kick the can down the road and we make it someone else's problem. And then now we have some pearl clutching we're doing over the potential loss of a building that we signed away 3 years ago.
The pearl clutching line is going to become one of those key lines to know, because at the Pensacola City Council meeting on Thursday, you had, people who sort of embraced that line, including former City Councilwoman Sherry Myers.
So my name is Sherry Myers, and I am a proud pearl clutcher. And I'm going to try not to be hysterical tonight.
Oh, man.
But more disturbingly, what I have witnessed is the destruction of our Constitution, our democratic form of government, and our charter.
Never one for understatement, Sherry Myers.
And, sir, I'm a member of the Florida Bar, the Kentucky Bar, retired from the Tennessee Bar, and practiced in three federal courts. I don't agree with your interpretation of our charter at all. So looking at statutory construction, we'll be able to argue that in another forum, I promise you.
So threatening additional legal action, which she is a lawyer. I don't know if she's actively practicing how much, but, you know, she certainly at one time was a lawyer.
And I'm directly related to Samuel Weaver, who fought in the Revolutionary War. Our country fought hard to make sure that we don't have kings and tyrants ruling us.
No kings, no tyrants, Civil War connections.
Well, this government has refused to honor our Bill of Rights, our state constitution, and our charter. So while you have destroyed Malcolm Young and our democratic institutions here, we're going to rebuild them. These people out here are.
This sounds vaguely familiar to me.
Bordertown will live. We will rebuild.
So, Sherry, okay, so he's destroying, let's see, the charter, the constitution, the character of the city, Malcolm Young Gym, tyrants, kings, what else? What else could you throw in?
The mayor has used very condescending language to refer to those of us on the committee, pearl clutchers, hysterical. We all know that those are code words for women.
Ah, she's a sexist too. Okay, all right. So all of these things, hates puppies, you know, doesn't believe in Easter or Christmas or even Halloween. He's just a horrible, terrible person. Okay, so that's a little bit of backdrop. Now, Adam Cobb, who's the new city attorney, he gave his interpretation because, you remember, this was, whether they could demolish the building, which at this point had just gotten demolished the day before. It was last Wednesday. So Thursday was the meeting. This is the day before. And the question of, why didn't they have to wait for the petitions to get signed or not to see whether the people could vote to overturn the decision of council to demolish Malcolm and Young Jim? And, you know, what have I said about this? I said that they're well within their, it was the right decision to tear down the gym. They were well within their legal rights to tear it down. I agree, but I think it would have been better if they could have waited. And of course, that's the mayor's comments. We're not going to wait on a small group of people, and all of this kind of stuff. So Adam Cobb weighed in on Thursday.
Specifically, as it relates to the referendum process, there is nothing in our charter that prohibits enforcing or taking action on a approved council measure during the pendency or application for a referendum. Again, there is nothing in our charter to that effect.
That we don't have to wait, even though the opportunity to petition to overturn is there. That doesn't include, therefore, a stay every time somebody threatens to bring the petition signatures, which is kind of an understandable thing, right? Because otherwise, any 2 or 3 or 10 people would be able to thwart the will of the council for an 2-month period while they try to get signatures together. And that would be a weird thing to officially put in your charter.
Short, our charter provides that unless and until a referendum vote occurs and the electors vote to successfully overturn a council action, that council action is and remains valid and effective.
And so they're able to act on it. Now, remember the folks against the Malcolm Young Gym demolition had gone and sought a temporary restraining order and had been told that their request was not legally sufficient a couple of times, and they were still working on that and, trying to bring that around. And, D.C. Reeves addressed the issue of whether the gym was publicly usable, and he said it's not. Even if the gym were kept up, it was, Lighthouse Christian had ownership of it and had the lease on it, and so it wasn't like we were suddenly losing this thing from the public view. And then Charles Baer had kind of an interesting comment here.
My comment was related to the comment made by the mayor. I've never seen a case where the mayor got to address the council before Boyd Forum. Just wanted to register my opposition to that. Council's never got an opportunity to do that. The mayor has mayor's communications to give his communications. He should wait to that point.
Thank you. I guess in that case in the future, if you have an issue, just call a point of order and I'll consider it. But his name came up just like yours did, so I called him just like I called on you.
And even though I played them out of order, he's right that Adam Cobb spoke first and then D.C. Reeves spoke next. And then there was Gloria Horning had talked for a little bit. And then Charles said, why are we letting the mayor speak before a public forum? That's kind of weird. And as you heard Casey Jones say, well, just raise point of order next time. And then, you can have at it. There were other people there. There's a There's a group of people who historically have associated themselves with a socialist organization in town. That does not mean that they are wrong all the time. That doesn't mean, that's been historically their connection. That doesn't mean that this group trying to save Malcolm Young Jim is socialist or anything like that. I'm just saying that's how I always have to interpret the things that they say. They're, complain about all sorts of things, including insufficient public, affordable housing, which, of course, the mayor is hoping Malcolm Young Jim will become a site for that. It may or may not. We'll have to see, obviously. But Sarah Brumman, one of these speakers.
It's an outrage that our mayor, whose salary is paid with our tax dollars, characterizes the concerned citizens who are participating in a democratic process as laid out by the city charter as pearl clutchers. It's outrageous that the city has undermined that democratic process and violated the spirit, if not the letter, of the city charter, and that our mayor has condescendingly gone on the record that this decision was made on the basis that the petitioning effort represents only a small minority of the population.
So I actually agree with her to a degree that the idea of the petition process and sort of the spirit of the charter, but of course the enforcement of the charter is the letter of the charter, not the spirit of the charter. But that's why I've said, I thought it would have been magnanimous. I thought it would have been above and beyond. I thought it would have been more in character with the kind of leadership that D.C. Reeves normally chooses to not exert the authority to demolish the gym. But, you know, he didn't go that way. And we'll talk about that on Wednesday, I'm sure. But, you know, they go on and they talk about the frustrations they had. And they, again, follow up with this with a vigil meeting, hand-wringing yesterday at the Malcolm Young gym. The one thing I will tell you is that I'm going to play you a short clip, which I thought was interesting from another member of this group, Charlie Dial, and then I'll tell you what I'm going to tell you later, okay? So here was Charlie Dial.
The truth is that this body sitting before me does not respect the civil process. You don't respect democracy, and you don't respect us. And I'm here to let you know that we will do everything in our power to vote every one of you out until we have a body that is composed of the people and actually serves the people instead of endless profit and expansion by real estate developers.
And Charlie Dow is a really good speaker. He's a very gifted public orator. It's interesting to listen to, but again, kind of part of this group that's anti-capitalism and so forth. Let's just say this. Jonathan Green, who has been at the center of all this and ran for mayor and had filed the TRO and got denied and got told that it wasn't legally sufficient and has been one of the key players in all of this, he took a very interesting approach to his comments in front of the city council. So you get 3 minutes, right, to say whatever you're going to say. You ready?
Jonathan Green, city resident, business owner. Boo, 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 boo.
Three minutes of booing.
You were booing
boo.
Me for 3 minutes.
Boo. Boo.
This is Jonathan Green booing city council
boo.
Over the decision to demolish
boo.
The gym for 3 minutes. I kid you not. I'll play more of this later in the day at 7 o'clock, but I just wanted to give you a taste. Just a taste. Just a little tiny
boo. Boo.
And he lost his breath. I mean, one can only boo so long before you run out of breath. And so when I say, you know, Milton City Council, or sorry, Pensacola City Council Melodrama Theater, I just want you to know that there's always something going on locally to keep it entertaining. 523 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Sometimes I struggle to get to sleep. My body stopped for the day, but my mind is still running. So I take ZzzQuil.
ZzzQuil, the world's number one sleep aid brand, has a range of non-habit-forming products to fit you and your family's needs. Invest in a great night's sleep for the best you tomorrow.
I'm awake and ready to take on anything.
Better days start with ZzzQuil Nights. Explore our products at ZzzQuil.com.
Use as directed. Keep out of reach of children.
Did you know that feeling sluggish or weighed down could be a sign that your digestive system isn't working at its best? Taking Metamucil every day can help. Metamucil fiber powders help promote your daily digestive health using a plant-based fiber called psyllium. The gelling action of this special fiber traps and removes waste so you can feel lighter and more energetic. Metamucil, promoting digestive health for a better you. Learn more at Metamucil.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Hi, this is Earl Ron. At New South Window, we bring the factory to you. Our windows and doors are made with quality in mind, and your products and installation are backed by our lifetime warranty. That's because New South Window knows the importance of single-source accountability. We believe in removing the middleman so you get more for your money. This is real factory direct. One company, one call, guaranteed for life. Get New South proud.
For a limited time only, when you buy more, you can save more. Visit NewSouthWindow.com to learn more.
News Radio Pensacola on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Hans.
And I'm Franz, and we just want to pop.
You are.
Good morning, 525 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Happy Monday. A little cool. Like, what, in the low 50s, I think, right now. It's, I had to wear pants today. It's so unpleasant. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
You know it's cold when Andrew shows up in pants.
That's right.
That is
true.
That
is the key indicator.
Well, Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg is criticizing Republicans for not backing a recent bipartisan border deal. He did an interview on ABC's This Week and says that Donald Trump put pressure on Republicans to kill the bill to avoid any policy wins for President Biden leading up to the general election. The trial of a Michigan father charged in connection with a deadly school shooting carried out by his teenage son will continue today. James Crumbly, charged with four counts of involuntary manslaughter in the deaths of students at Oxford High School back in 2021. And four adults and a child have died after a small plane crashed in Virginia over the weekend. That private jet crashed in the woods near Ingalls Air Force Base in Hot Springs, which is a little bit south of Richmond. But both the FAA and NTSB are investigating what happened there.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 526 on News Radio 92.3. If you're thinking about buying or selling a home, and especially, you know, if you're doing it for the very first time, which can be kind of a stressful thing to even contemplate because it's a big change if you've been renting or living with your folks or whatever, Christina Leavenworth is great at this. She will hold your hand. She'll talk to you, answer your questions. She's always available, great at communication. This is kind of the two things she always emphasizes, communication system. Communication in terms of always, you know, returning calls, answering your call, getting your questions answered, making sure you feel comfortable and informed so every decision you make is a, you know, well-informed one. And then the system that they have for selling and for buying is just, I mean, it's spectacular. I've seen the results of this over and over and over again. In fact, last year they sold 175 homes this way. It's kind of, it's wild. Just, you know, absolutely wild. And I always think, man, if I could go back in time and have somebody help me sell my first home or buy my first home, I would have loved to have had somebody like Christina to be able to do that for us. 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Rinke Realty. Joe Biden, after the State of the Union address, had what can only be described as a very, very odd comment in talking about Benjamin Netanyahu, the Prime Minister of Israel. Now, I know this is going to be hard to hear, so I'll explain it afterwards, but this is him talking to Senator, who is this? Bennett. That's right, Mike Bennett, and also Tony Blinken, the Secretary of State.
I told him, baby, show me this. I said, baby, you know I can't come to Jesus.
Sir, just... He says, I told him, don't repeat this. I told him, BB, I told him we need to have a come-to-Jesus meeting.
Hot mic, oh, good. That was good.
And he says, there's a hot mic right there. That was good. Now, what's interesting about that is Benjamin Netanyahu is the Prime Minister of Israel. Israel, you might have heard, is a country founded on what again? Is Judaism? Perhaps.
Netanyahu need a come-to-Jesus meeting. What are you hoping to achieve?
I didn't say that in the speech.
After the speech. About after the speech?
You guys eavesdropping on things.
Does that show your level of frustration with him on humanitarian aid? Does he need to be doing more?
Yes, he does.
Well, I didn't say that in the speech. After the speech. Are you dropping on? He said there's a hot mic right there. Come on, man.
I don't know exactly what the president meant. But if he meant by that, then I'm pursuing private policies against the majority, the wish of the majority of Israelis, and that this is hurting the interests of Israel, then he's wrong on both counts. Number one, these are not my private policies only. their policies supported by the overwhelming majority of the Israelis.
So Benjamin Netanyahu says, I don't know what he meant by that. Asked by Jonathan Capehart about the comment, Biden says,
you were caught on a hot mic after your State of the Union address talking to Secretary of State Antony Blinken and Senator Michael Bennett, saying, quote, I told him, Bibi, and don't repeat this, but you and I are going to have a come to Jesus meeting. What do you mean by that?
What I meant was, it's an expression used in the southern part of my state, meaning a serious meeting. And it was, I've known Bibi for 50 years, and he knew what I meant by it.
The southern part of Delaware? What are you talking about? Okay, can I say it this way? Yes, awkward, ridiculous to tell a Jew we need to have a come to Jesus meeting. And at the same time, he's a gaffe machine. No big deal.
Fox News, I'm CJ Pop. A scary flight on board a Boeing 787-9 Dreamliner traveling from Sydney, Australia to Auckland, New Zealand.
People are hurt after a technical problem reportedly caused a Chilean plane to suddenly drop altitude mid-flight. Officials say most of those who were hurt were treated at the Auckland airport. Some, though, were taken to the hospital. Additional details have not yet been released.
Fox's Ashley Strohmeyer. Republican primaries in Georgia, Hawaii, Mississippi, and Washington tomorrow, with former President Trump poised to become the GOP nominee for a third straight time. President Biden on the move again today. Since his State of the Union last week, he visits Manchester, New Hampshire. He'll outline his call for lower drug and medical costs. The movie Oppenheimer wins 7 Oscars, including Best Picture, Director, Actor, and Supporting Actor. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3. It is 50 degrees right now and partly cloudy skies in Pensacola. Well, a group of protesters not happy about the demolition of the Malcolm Young Gym last week held a candlelight vigil last night. Many of the attendees say they have memories at the old facility.
I remember just being a kid, the Roy Jones Jr. celebrity basketball games, just coming as a student and playing with my friends 5-on-5 pickup games.
Jonathan Green, one of the community members who's been very vocal about his support for a ballot referendum. While the Malcolm Young Gym has now been torn down, the group is hoping to continue with the referendum process, and they'd like to force the city to rebuild the facility. The city decided to tear the building down after safety concerns arose from decay. They believed it would be too costly to repair. Well, there's a big turnout on Saturday for the McGuire's Run downtown. More than 10,000 people were estimated to participate in that run. The 5K race started back in 1977. Since then, though, it's turned into one of the biggest 5K runs across the nation. Well, efforts to free a stranded whale continuing today off of Sarasota County. The FWC says a sperm whale is stuck off the coast of Venice, but surf and wind conditions were too dangerous to get to the whale yesterday. A team will be out this morning. Venice officials report that the whale was still alive as of last night, but it did have labored breathing. Marco Rubio last night on CBS's Face the Nation with a bit of a warning for many in the workplace. He was talking about artificial intelligence. Rubio says AI is going to disrupt white-collar jobs in a way that technological advancements disrupted blue-collar jobs. Rubio also says we need to start thinking about the economic displacement that that will cause. It is 5:33 at News Radio. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 forecast for this morning.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We are going to be seeing a nice, beautiful day today with a few clouds in the area, high near 65 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 47. For Tuesday, a little more sunshine with a high near 69. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 56. Small isolated showers possible by Wednesday with a 20% chance of rain, high near 72. Stay connected to the Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
And right now we've got 50 degrees in Pensacola, 52 in Gulf Breeze, 47 in Milton. Your next news at 6 o'clock. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
Are you hungry for news that keeps you informed, is local and dependable? Look no further than News Radio Pensacola on 92.3, 95.3, and on AM 1620. We're your trusted source for all the latest happenings in the Emerald Coast. From breaking news to in-depth reports, we've got you covered. Our team of experienced journalists brings you the stories that matter most to our community. Stay connected with local events, weather updates, and traffic reports, ensuring you're always one step ahead. We're News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. Your road to adventure starts with the 2024 Subaru Outback and the 2024 Subaru Forester. Both come standard with symmetrical all-wheel drive for confidence along the way. The Subaru Outback, according to Kelley Blue Book, is one of the best family cars of 2023. And according to Auto Trader and my good friend Max here, the Subaru Forester is one of the 2023 best cars for dog lovers. For information on all the awards and accolades from Kelley Blue Book and Auto Trader on the Subaru brand, the Subaru Outback, and the Subaru Forester, visit KelleyBlueBookKBB.com and AutoTrader.com. Whether you're a Forester family or an Outback family, your road to adventure starts in a Subaru. Get yours during the Subaru Lot to Love event. Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Kelley Blue Book is a registered trademark of Kelley Blue Book Company, Incorporated. Auto Trader is a registered trademark and used with permission.
Finding a reputable business shouldn't require luck or chance. But how can you tell who you can trust? Pro tip, the BBB connects people with businesses they can trust. So think of the BBB as the better, check with the BBB first, because better businesses are honest and commit to high ethical standards bureau. That's why they're better. Always look for the sign of a better business and find a better business anytime at BBB.org.
Hi, I'm Terrence A. Gross. As many of you know, I am a local board-certified personal injury lawyer, and I have practiced in this community for almost 40 years. Our law firm handles only people that have been injured due to the negligence of another. Join me this Wednesday at 10:30 on Pep Talk as we discuss all aspects of personal injury law.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Pensacola right now with Joe and Austin.
It's like headline news for radio every day, 4 to 7 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
And we go a little something like this. Hit it. High kick. Come on.
Good morning, 5:37 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Jake, thank you for playing the Bill Cosby theme song. that's not funny, Andrew. Well, anyway, it's a great song. It's too bad. It's too bad. It's what it's about. Is what it's the problem. last Friday, we had a chance to talk to Alex Andrade on the last day of session before Signy Die, where they dropped the towel and. It's a weird tradition. I'll just be honest. It's a weird one. But politics is full of weird traditions. We all have weird traditions. That's all right. Alex Andrade, state representative for District 2, joined us on Friday. We talked about session and you know, what had happened last week. Alex, welcome back to the show, sir.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. Are you excited to be able to get back home and get some sleep and have you know only your regular duties to think about for the most part?
Yeah. that's an understatement.
Yeah. So budgets, obviously, I mean, there's all kinds of bills in the flurry of last-minute passages, but budget was obviously the big thing that you've been working on, losing sleep over, and a fair number of projects getting funded locally, right?
Yeah, no, a large number of projects getting funded locally. The ones on my list in the House that Senator Braxton had in the Senate, I think that, I mean, Northwest Florida benefited immensely from having Senator Braxton as the Senate Appropriations Chair. I think he deserves like 95% of all credit anyone takes for getting money back here in Pensacola, Northwest Florida. But, I mean, we're talking like $2 million more for the Gulf Breeze pedestrian overpass, the second pedestrian overpass, ultimately about $7 million for the old Baptist Hospital campus, $5 million for the Pensacola Airport. $2 million plus dollars for the Bay Bluffs Park. 1.5 million. Well, this is one that it wasn't with Senator Brockson because it's a statewide issue, but it's something that's important to me, which was the Florida Debate Initiative. For the past several years, I've gotten money from them to try and encourage debate in high school, because I think the only way we can kind of resolve a lot of what we're seeing in the division in society right now is through actually arming people with the tools to debate, not with the opinions to fight over. You know what I mean? So that's a big one for me. And
I know you and I agree about this, but I don't want to let it go without making the point that the greatest value that debate does is not necessarily arm you with the ability to reason from fact and evidence and logic, although yes, obviously, but it's the ability that it forces you to argue for positions you don't agree with and to learn to see points of view that you didn't understand before and tend to dismiss immediately. That, to me, that's like, when people can do that, we can have a healthy democracy. When people can't do that, well, you know, we get what we're getting. So, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Alex.
Oh, yeah, no. I mean, I tend to think of it like the trait of empathy as a muscle, and if you don't engage it, right, it atrophies. I think debate absolutely allows people to empathize with other folks, even if they might not agree with them. But yeah, Big Brothers Big Sisters is another one that I care deeply about. So, I could not be prouder of Senator Brockson, prouder of his last year in the Florida Senate. And I'm excited to come home with a lot of things to celebrate.
We had a fair number of bills kind of, you know, that we've been waiting to see them go through, including the social media revamp bill, which now, for the most part, the big change is that you and I won't have to go through age verification, and really nobody has to go through age verification, but there's cause of action if you find minors on the platform, and now parents can opt in for their 14 and 15-year-olds, right? That's the basic change from the original banning everybody 15 and under, right?
Yeah, and I mean, obviously, this is a massive compromise. We've spent the past several weeks saying that, you know, social media was digital fentanyl, and I happen to agree. I don't think there should be any kind of parental consent, but we, you know, sometimes in the process, you're forced to find compromises when people have valid disagreements of opinion. And so, after the veto, this was the compromise that was struck, and it's certainly a step in the right direction, and a major step in the right direction. So. You saw everyone kind of celebrate the same way when we voted to pass this the other day.
Did he veto it because of concerns about legal success, or did he veto it because he really thinks the bill was misguided?
That's a great question. I'd have to go read the letter that he provided with the veto. But what I can also say is, like, those letters are sometimes misleading.
Okay.
They don't always tell the whole story. Like, there was an alimony bill, an alimony reform bill that he vetoed one year and signed the next. And they were nearly identical. You know, there's so much going on. It's tough to tell. I think, you know, sometimes if you don't spend enough time thinking through something or listening, like you did, Andrew, to the committee testimony and the sponsor's testimony on this bill, you know, if you recall at the beginning of session, I started from the same position the governor did.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I had the same kind of trepidation. And then you hear these stories and you see these concerns and you start thinking of it and, well, you know, how addictive is it? How
right.
harmful is it? How close to a drug is it? And if you start really going down that path and you look at it, there's no distinction. There's no difference. This is something that has no benefit, extreme amounts of harm, a high rate of addiction, and we should be treating it like a drug.
Yeah, no, and that's a really good point. Is I find on a lot of these bills that my initial reaction is one thing, but then when I start to listen to the testimony and the arguments and the nuanced clarifications of everything, it persuades me, which is the point of debate, right? But if you haven't had the time or spent the time to go through that, like you do or I do, or, you know, I can understand why people would have a particular reaction to it. So understandable. It doesn't make the reaction right. It just means it's sort of an understandable reaction. The District 4, the replacement for Commissioner Bender, nobody seems to have any idea what's going on. I've tried to get information from the governor's office. Is it just that, like, it's during session, he's too busy with that? Or, I mean, do you have any sense of this? I know I've asked you before, but I'm always looking for, because we need to get a fifth commissioner.
Yeah. do people remember how long it took him to appoint someone to the school board?
When Elvin McCorvey died, it was like 10 months. It was ridiculously bad. And that was only for ECUA or school board or whatever. So, yeah.
Yeah. So two months is nothing. people can be impatient all their life, but like 2 months is nothing. I'm sure it'll come in the next month or so, but there's not a massive sense of urgency, it doesn't feel like, from the governor's office to make decisive appointments.
Fair enough. Wanted to ask you one thing is, just as we're going through the release of these bills into the governor's office, and they will be sort of gradually released him over the course of the next few weeks, what is the rule? Because it's not as much of a time constraint as during session, how long he's got to veto things, right?
Yeah, I think I know that during session, if we send him a bill that we've already both passed, like the House and the Senate, 7 days, I always forget if it's 15 or 30, but it's an order of magnitude longer that the governor can sit on bills for us to sign them if we send them to him after session. So if I were to guess, I think it's something like 15 days or 20 days, but I'd have to double-check the Constitution to confirm.
There were several bills that I had not really been paying much attention to, but then, you know, forcing myself to listen to several hours of Senator House, votes, I'm like, oh, that's an interesting bill I wasn't familiar with. The two that caught me most by surprise that I had not heard was the water quality bill, requiring local counties and cities to notify the public within 24 hours of any dangerous water, contaminated water. And then the other one was on contractor fraud, requiring contractors to take money from a client and put it into an escrow account the way a lawyer would, to only be usable for that client's project instead of always robbing Peter to pay Paul, which, you know, we know that has been a major source of problems here locally. Those two seem like very good bills to me.
Yeah, the contractor one, I'm not sure how it's going to work in practice.
Sure, but, I understand.
I think any additional protection for, you know, everyday citizens on water contamination is a good thing. Yeah. I have had to take a couple no votes. You know, I've been the sole no vote or a no vote out of like 10 other no votes on a couple bills this past week. But there's been a lot of interesting bills.
I haven't followed all the votes. Any one of those no votes that stands out to you?
Well, yeah. I mean, a lot of times we criminalize things kind of like in a knee-jerk reaction. So there's these concerns where you have a first responder shows up to a scene and they get exposed to fentanyl and they have to take Narcan to revive themselves, sometimes more than once. While I understand and sympathize with the fear in that situation, there was a member of the House who wanted to make it a second-degree felony to recklessly expose somebody in that circumstance to fentanyl. What I think the net effect of that is going to be is, one, there's no way you're able to prosecute the actual crime that was created by that bill. And two, every single person who is right now hoping that they won't be prosecuted if they call 911 after they see a friend overdose is now going to be terrified of calling in to 911 if they see an overdose.
Yeah.
I don't like the message that sends. I think you should feel very safe. If you see a friend who's overdosed, you should feel very safe calling that in. So I think the only Republican who voted no on that bill.
I will also say that the one that caught me by surprise when I was listening to the Senate, because I hadn't caught it on the House side, was the perimeter around a crime, like a law enforcement or first responder situation, had been 14 feet, and you guys pushed it back to 25 feet, which the Senate agreed to, right?
25 feet, and there was a lot of debate on that one. A lot of debate that was kind of silly. I mean, we have domestic violence injunctions that say someone can't get within 500 feet of, you know, a petitioner's home. And now all of a sudden, try eyeballing 500 feet. Now all of a sudden we're having issues with eyeballing 25 feet. Or we're having to use people's desks on the floor to explain what 25 feet is to people. Some of that kind of felt ridiculous.
And that was one where my first reaction was, well, that's a long way away to get a good video. But at the same time, when you can set a perimeter for 500 feet or a mile or, you know, a half mile, depending on public safety needs, that, you know, 25 feet doesn't seem all that big. And that was persuasive in the Senate. So, you know, that was one I was kind of pulled around on when my initial reaction was 25 feet seems like a long way if you're watching cops misbehave, you know, if that's the case that's going on. Alex Andrade, he's our state representative for District 2. As always, Alex, thanks for being with us every Friday to kind of walk us through session. Thanks for all the work that you've done this year, and we look forward to talking to you again soon. But seriously, thank you for giving up time with your family and being here and taking all the trips and doing all the work and communicating so consistently. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Andrew.
Absolutely. 549 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you need air conditioning, heating, electrical, or plumbing work done, you want to call folks, or you know you're going to get the work done right the first time. They're going to stand by with a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Professional, show up on time, do it right. That's Peden Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, Electrical. They will take care of all of that stuff. And they have been consistently expanding, even in the short time that I have been talking about them on the air. They have grown to expand to Baldwin County to the west and now to Mobile County. They have been growing east. They're all the way to Tallahassee. So the entire central time zone now is covered by Peden. And, you know, you can become a maintenance member right now. And if you do, you get a free coastal protection package with your very first tune-up for your AC. So they will take care of you for that. And like I said, they are hiring now AC technicians, plumbers, and electricians in all markets. So if you are somebody or know somebody who's really good at their job and might like a little change of venue, Peden can take care of them. Again, in Mobile County and in Tallahassee, Florida, and everywhere in between, Peden, PEADEN.com.
Exciting news! The data revolution is on the rise once again. Data Revolution is seeking a second-tier engineer with at least 2 to 3 years of experience in IT, networks, voice over IP, and cybersecurity. Data Revolution's competitive salary is based on experience, and their comprehensive benefit packages include a medical stipend, matching 401k, flexible work hours, starting with 3 weeks of PTO, 10 paid holidays, profit sharing, and more. This is not remote or work from home. To learn more about this opportunity, send your resume to resume@datarevs.com.
Pinner Credit Union is here for every move-in day to the perfect home, every trip up the coast in the perfect car, for every business door unlocked, every dollar saved for something special, every dream achieved one goal at a time. We're here because Pinner Credit Union has been a part of this community since 1936, and with affordable lending, flexible accounts, easy access, and smart guidance, we're a perfect fit for the way you bank. Join us at pinner.org. You'll fit right in. Insured by NCUA, Equal Housing Lender.
Advertising, marketing, digital marketing. These are all words you hear a lot about in today's world, but what do they mean? How do you get started? You can start by tuning into the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 10:30 a.m. Join me, Lexi Mendoza, and I'll show you how to navigate the fast-growing landscape of digital advertising today at 10:30 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions, 850-437-1620.
Local experts share their expertise on the Pensacola Expert Panel. It's Pep Talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Going home and I'm gonna bite my pillow. It's what I'm gonna do.
Champion and seven-time Cy Young Award winner, the Rocket, Roger Clemens!
From a man on the mound with 7 years of minor league baseball experience to a reliever with 24 years in the bigs.
I really want to go see the Savannah Bananas sometime because they're so much fun. They had a game over the weekend, and there you're just, you know, you're playing some baseball. And in the second inning, Roger Clemens comes out to pitch for a couple of batters. Roger Clemens at 61. Oh, it was terrible. It was awful. He gave up a 2-run home run. He allowed 5 runs in the total appearance. You know, it was all. But he did get a comebacker to actually make one out.
Trying to find the zone for a payoff.
tapped back to him. Jumping play, underhand to first. EJ behind the back. And how about the ovation for Roger Clemens as his kids come out to hang with him?
Yeah, the Savannah Bananas, you're not going to watch the great baseball. You're going, it's like the Harlem Globetrotters of baseball. And they're just super entertaining, and I thought it was cool. And by the way, that wasn't it. They also had Roy Oswalt came out. You know, not too shabby to have. I think they're both Hall of Famers, if I remember correctly. Anyway, so to have both of them pitch. He also did terrible. I mean, it was, you know, he pitched a third of an inning. He allowed one run and three hits. So that's not very good. 5:55 on News Radio 92.3. But fun, that's the point. The point of the thing is to have fun. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
And good morning. The U.S. Embassy is evacuating non-essential staff members from Haiti. As gang violence grips the nation, the U.S. Southern Command says American military forces are assisting in the operation, helping to provide security at the request of the State Department. Families of diplomats and others are reportedly being airlifted out of Port-au-Prince to safety. The top prize last night at the Academy Awards went to Oppenheimer, Andrew. The movie won Best Picture for the 2024 Academy Awards. Al Pacino presented the award, and apparently it had 13 nominations, won 7 different Oscars last night.
And Barbie won just one, I think, for a song.
Yes.
Which didn't Greta Gerwig and also Margot Robbie, neither of them got nominations, I think, if I remember correctly. So, boo.
Did you watch the Barbie movie?
I did. I thought it was great. Yeah. I mean, I have a lot of thoughts about the philosophy that they're advocating, but that's all right. It was an interesting movie, for sure.
I had been putting off watching it for quite a while, and Kelly finally talked me into it over the week. It wasn't as bad as I went into it thinking it was.
Now, did you think it was going to be bad because it was all, you know, down with the patriarchy, or did you think it was going to be bad because it was going to be, you know, a Barbie movie?
Because it was a Barbie movie.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. But no, it was very
I just had assumptions.
Very creative, very entertaining, good writing, funny. And down with the patriarchy, you know, so was that it, sir?
That's all I got all right. for you right now.
5:56 on News Radio 92.3. What else do we have going on? Boy, this stripper bill, I don't know. I've been really thinking a lot about this bill, and this is the bill that raises the age for working in an adult entertainment establishment up to 21. There's something right about that. Like, if you were starting from scratch, what would you make it? And, you know, with alcohol around, okay? But what I said before, and I'll say again, I just worry, frankly, that, you know, women who feel like that's their best option in life may not have a lot of other great options in life, especially for the kind of money that they're going to make stripping. And I hate that. I hate that for our culture, for our world. I hate that for them. But, you know, what's the next thing that they're going to do if they're 19 and they can't make, you know, a couple $100 a night doing that and pay the rent? Well, you know, maybe they go become escorts. You know, maybe they go do OnlyFans. Maybe they go into, you know, pornography. Maybe they go into prostitution. I mean, what's the next best thing that they're going to do that they're giving up to do stripping? Well, you know, bad stuff. And especially since the age for, you know, the legal things I just mentioned is still 18, right? You haven't changed it all to 21. Now, if you were starting from scratch and you're trying to craft a set of rules, what would you make it? Well, you'd probably make it 21. And if it were 21, I would certainly not be saying, oh, we should definitely lower it to 18. But that's not the world we live in. And we live in a world where it's been legal. And then immediate implementation, like if the governor signs it, that's it. There's no, like, transitional phase. There's no, you know, get your stuff together, find something else. And there's no, I don't know, there's no real program in place to help women find better opportunities. Because I'm sure that once you've been that kind of a worker, that's going to make it probably harder for you to find other work. I mean, maybe not quite as bad as having a conviction on your record, but it probably doesn't help. You know, because people will stigmatize you a certain way. So just, you know, a lot of thoughts about this bill that, you know, kind of came back and went through real fast and I was going to go and probably going to get signed. You know, is the world a better place if 19-year-olds aren't stripping? Well, in a certain sense, yeah, sure, of course. But what do they do instead? You know, and how fast does that transition take place? And did we give any thought to implementing this? And, you know, what does it look like in the real world when we roll something like that out? Well, you know, that's kind of the problem. Sometimes even a good idea doesn't look good when you actually put it into practice, you know, in a certain fashion. 5:59 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Hey, Men Who Cook, the 11th annual comes up at Blue Wahoo Stadium. Tickets are on sale now for the 11th annual. I, of course, will be cooking with my son. We always have a good time for that. Find out more or purchase tickets at newsradio923.com.
You're listening to News Radio 92.3, WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.